Welcome to Existence. I'm Andrew Hiller. Normally on this show, we celebrate the existence of people who have made a difference, who have produced a positive ripple that touches our lives, or who have just done something very cool. That's going to be the case here too, but with a twist. Today, we're going to take on the subject of bullying and those who are fighting to support, prevent, and heal its victims. According to the National Center for Educational Statistics, more than 1 in 5 students report being the victim of bullying. But the number of children and adults who face mental intimidation, physical threat, or social manipulation may be even larger than that. What's worse is that numerous studies show that the impact of bullying can be both profound and long-lasting. Joining us to talk about prevention, support, and what we can do is Chase Masterson, founder of the Pop Culture Hero Coalition, a 501c3 organization which seeks to use stories from comics, TV, and film to teach real-life heroism over bullying, racism, misogyny, LGBTQI bullying, and cyberbullying. Welcome, Chase.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrew. I appreciate all of that.
And thank you for the work you do. Most people probably know you best as an actress who's orbited our lives in shows like Star Trek, DS9, The Flash, or in upcoming projects like Vendetta Vet. But I really want to start on topic. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Thank you. This is closest to my heart.
Let's start with definitions. Bullying is a term that most of us have heard our whole lives. But what is it? For this discussion, how are we defining bullying?
Well, I'd like to go back to the roots of my work in this, and that will explain how I feel about the issue of bullying and why I founded the organization and what I see bullying as. Would that work for you?
Absolutely.
When I founded the organization, I was working with kids coming out of gangs at a place called Homeboy Industries. I've actually mentored there since 2008. And every single one of these kids were raised in circumstances you couldn't possibly imagine. They were jumped into gangs. They were told they would be killed if they didn't join a gang. I was thinking about that and, you know, all of the dynamics that that involves, how people get hurt and then they hurt other people. And that is really the cycle of bullying. While I was mentoring in 2012, I heard about a little girl named Katie who had been bullied for bringing her Star Wars lunchbox to school. And Katie was very upset because all the boys would follow her around saying, "Girls can't like Star Wars. You're acting like a boy." So Katie went home to her mother and told her, "I'm not going to like Star Wars anymore. Let me have my pink lunchbox back." And her mother said, "Katie, you get to be who you are. You get to be anything you want to be. You get to love what you want to love." And Carrie was, you know, upset about this, and she reached out onto the internet and she said, "If there's anybody out there who likes science fiction, my daughter is being bullied for it. Can you reach out in support if there's any woman out there who likes sci-fi?" Well, that post went viral and thousands of us responded. And we said, "Katie, you be you." And Carrie realized that this was such a key issue that she decided to write a book about it. And Carrie reached back out to me to do an interview for the book. She asked for other actors to be interviewed, and I referred my friend Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca. So now Peter, the real Chewbacca, is friends with little Katie, who got bullied in first grade. You know, don't screw with us. So basically, Peter did an interview for the book, and the book was coming out, and Carrie said, "Can you bring this to Comic-Con?" And that's when it all hit me, that bullying is the same issue, whether it's kids being jumped into gangs, or first graders being bullied for Star Wars, or third graders being bullied because someone says they're too fat, or high schoolers being bullied because someone is not in that group, or they're too nerdy, or they're too something. It's all the same key issue. It's all oppression. That goes for workplace bullying and relationship bullying and cyberbullying and terrorism and war. It's oppression that does not belong in our world. And the way to make it stop is to create a culture of inclusivity and affect anything else.
I find that origin story very interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, having been of that generation when the original trilogy came out, I can tell you that Princess Leia was incredibly cool. And women and girls loved her because she was a heroic character equal to all the guys. So Obviously those young boys had no clue what they were talking about. But The second issue is that when I was a special education teacher, a lot of my fellow teachers came into the field because they had had problems with reading or problems with attention or problems with some other aspect, and they wanted to support people who had gone through what they had gone through. That wasn't actually the case with me. For me, and it sounds like the case for you, I just saw that I had some different perspectives from my abilities as an artist, as a writer, as a playwright. And I wanted to lend that perspective to build up and support people. So it sounds like you got into the field of bullying, not because you were bullied, but because that's where your heart went.
Well, thank you. I mean, I certainly had my share of being bullied and oppressed in many ways. I've had really bad experiences out of being an actress. And without getting in too deep to those, I'll say I think this is something we all understand. Even, people will say to me, you've been bullied? And yes, I was bullied badly in high school and junior high, and that work, that continues. You know, this is a very tough industry. So it's partly that it has happened to me, but it's partly that I see it as the primary problem in the world. If we can change this and teach people to have empathy, we'll live in a different world. We'll live in the world we want to live in.
And I think empathy is a huge thing, because when we think of bullying, we think of the classic bully generally, which is the physical threat or the social intimidation, or nowadays maybe even the virtual intimidation through cyberbullying. But there also seems to be a more insidious and nefarious threat that we're seeing. And that is what I call institutional bullying, which is, what do you do when the bully who's impacting you is the policeman who's supposed to protect you, is the clergyman who's supposed to guide you, who's the
teacher who's supposed to teach you,
or the government institution whose job is to support us all. So What do we do when the institution itself becomes the bullying agent?
This is where social activism is so important, and where it's so truly important for everyone to realize that our voices all matter. One person can't stand up against an institution. It's like throwing a drop of water into the ocean. But when we all speak out, and when we all march in peaceful protest, as Dr. King taught us to do, and when we all use our voices everywhere we can, that's when the tides can start to change. I think we have too many people in this country who think that racism is no longer an issue. And I don't understand how that can possibly be the case. But when you look at the history of our country, we need to stop thinking that we are absolutely the best country and, you know, we can do no wrong. That is really far from the truth. We have systemic problems that are impacting individual lives on a daily basis, farther than anyone realizes. The mortality rate of black women in childbirth is astronomically high. It's something like the third in the world in the southern United States. There are very serious issues that we don't generally think about as a society because we have privilege, most of us. And it's important to realize that if we have privilege, it's because we won the birth lottery. Very, very few people have created their lives solely by themselves. There were people there and situations that we have used to build our lives that other people don't have. And we need to reach out to the people that really are underprivileged and make it a good world for them, too. This is where the Star Trek themes of infinite diversity and infinite combinations come in.
I think empathy is a huge component. I also love the teamwork aspect that you bring up, because it does take many people to put down that bully or to rise someone up after they've been bullied. But interestingly, when you were speaking, you made me think about several interviews I've had over the years about climate change, which one wouldn't necessarily associate with bullying. But what I found in many of those interviews was that the people who claimed they did not believe in climate change actually did. What they really cared more about was the money in their wallet and what they could get to short term. And so I think maybe this is another way of talking about privilege. It's not so much that people are privileged and not that they don't care. It's that they choose to be short-sighted and only really want to think about themselves because the other stuff is so hard.
It is, absolutely. It's out of our comfort zone. And that's why Pop Culture Hero Coalition is creating a 31-point curriculum to put into schools to teach empathy, resilience, working against systemic bias, working against implicit bias. They teach conflict resolution. There's a portion of our curriculum that works on healthy online interaction and restorative justice. And these are all issues that they may sound like big words for kids, but we put them in a way that kids understand, which is pop culture. Wonder Woman stood for peace. She was an ambassador of peace and justice. And Batman healed from his own childhood trauma and went on to try to create justice in his own city. There are things that we can do, and we all have our own kryptonite. We all have those things that want to hold us back, like fear and, just not knowing what to do. But we can stand up against our kryptonite and really find strategies to make this world a better place. So a 31-point curriculum is going to be tested in schools in the fall using pop culture to teach kids.
And in what counties or what areas are they going to do this pilot program?
We have different schools that we are in the process of talking with. One is in San Diego. There's a school system in Colorado, other schools in Evanston, a sprinkling of schools around the country which have requested it. And we actually have schools worldwide and initiatives worldwide that are using our curriculum already to help Syrian refugee kids in Germany. There's a nonprofit in Vietnam which is using our work to help kids who have recently come out of human trafficking. All of these issues are very global, and we just want to have people see each other as human. That's the key.
So the Pop Culture Coalition really is an international effort. And I guess maybe that's one of the reasons why pop culture also works, because it deals with these universal characters who the children and many of the adults all know and all kind of like.
Exactly. We love superheroes. Why not be one? That's our motto. It's fun.
I used to try to do the same thing with humor. I do believe that if you preach and yell, you close more ears than you open. I think what you're talking about with these comic books and these science fiction movies and these stories actually goes back also into special ed, into what we call high interest reading. Because what you're doing is you're introducing topics that the children want to read about and they get more excited about. So they're more receptive to the messages. So that creates an incentive to them wanting to hear what you're trying to teach.
Absolutely. In fact, people already tell us we're saving lives. We've been doing this work in Comic-Cons and in certain schools since 2013. We have a team of pop culture savvy clinical psychologists, two extraordinary women, Dr. Janina Scarlett and Dr. Andrea Letamendi, who have co-created the curriculum with Carrie Goldman. And they specialize in using pop culture to do therapy. One has a book, Janina Scarlett has a book called Superhero Therapy. Andrea Letamendi has a TED Talk on using superheroes in therapy and how they've changed her life. So many people have such a powerful connection to these stories. That's why they're so transcendent. That's why comics have been a big deal for over 75 years. Wonder Woman is 75. That's a lot of generations for her to appeal to.
Yeah, it's a good thing she's an immortal Amazon. Otherwise, it might be rough on her. But when the federal government began studying the issue of bullying back in 2005, the Department of Education reported that the prevalence was about 28%. A more recent study done 2 years ago said that it's about 10% lower. Does that mean we're doing a better job and that bullying incidence rates are decreasing? Or are we still suffering from a lot of underreporting?
I think we're suffering from a lot of underreporting. I personally don't know one single person who hasn't been bullied. Do you?
Probably not. I think it depends. If we talk about bullying as being systemic and multiple incidents, then I would struggle with it. There is this part of me that always wrestles with this concept of my friends and I used to have insult contests as young boys. Was that bullying? Well, if you took it seriously and it hurt you, yes. But otherwise, it's part of the games of young packs of boys or young packs of children. So I'm a little wary sometimes of being overly sensitive to what we label this or that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. There's a difference, and we have a lesson plan in this. There's a difference between bullying and joking where everyone is in on the joke and everyone is willing. And that's something that has to be watched very carefully, and that anyone has the right to opt out at any time if it gets too heavy. So if you're all in on the joke and you're all saying, nah, you, then, that's a game that kids play. Bullying and social conflict are even different. If somebody, if kids have a fight, that doesn't mean that one is getting bullied. That just means they're disagreeing on something, obviously, and there's lots of different nuances of that Carrie teaches very eloquently. She's really the expert. I'm just putting this whole thing together. But even still, every actor I know has been bullied. Every person that I come across says, oh, yeah, that happened to me. There's even, in my mind, there's the inequality of what happens in corporations. I believe that's bullying because you have to treat people fairly, and I don't think that's necessarily happening in our country.
I think that touches on something that's a key component for bullying. If parents or teachers or friends or spouses or anyone is trying to look for symptoms of bullying, I think what you're touching on, one of the things we need to look at are the power dynamics and how they're being abused or misused. Because I think whether it's someone who's just bigger, tall, or stronger, or someone who has the weight of money or any other form of power.
When Walmart workers strike because they can't get a decent living wage in a full-time job, I think it's because they've been bullied.
Absolutely. An organization like Walmart that tries to build into its pay system that their full-time or near full-time employees need to be on welfare or food stamps makes no sense, especially not given their profit margins.
Exactly. Exactly.
We've talked a little bit about you installing curriculums and you going to events and speaking on these topics. I'm wondering at this point, have you begun to see any results? Do you have any anecdotal or quantitative evidence that the program works?
The work is just now being completed in terms of our official curriculum, which will be going into schools. That will be pilot tested and researched. We will be refining that program until we're sure that it absolutely works, the standardized curriculum. And we have consulted with CASEL, which is the Collaborative Association for Social Emotional Learning, which this work falls under. In our work in other schools, we've had certain people come forward and say, thank you. This has made a huge difference. We have more peace in our classroom. This little girl feels safer. This boy feels more accepted. There are a lot of individual incidents that we hear pretty much on a daily basis from any of the work that any of our team does. at Comic-Cons, kids do a panel for a packed room of people at San Diego Comic-Con or Chicago C2E2, and they don't want to leave. Like, they literally don't leave the room when we stop. We're like, we have to go. And people are standing outside in the hallway for an hour or more wanting us to hear their stories. One girl has said, "You've saved my life." People have said that on a pretty regular basis to us. We're taking the time to listen.
That's amazing.
And sometimes that does feel like it is just one little starfish. But that's what helps the world. That's what can really save a life. Little kindnesses. So we're emphasizing also that heroism, sure, that might be, you know, jumping in and stopping the shooter, or that might be, you know, anything that you see our favorite Avengers do. But it can also be holding a door for somebody and smiling at them, or going over to say, "Hey, are you okay?" to the person in the corner of the classroom or the corner of the internet. This is truly will make a groundswell that will make the world safer.
One of the next places you're going to is Shore Leave, which is in the Baltimore, Maryland area. And I'm wondering, given what you just said here, if you have to do any kind of sell job to bring people in, because, you know, people go into Comic Cons and SFF Cons and literary cons to escape, to have fun. And all of a sudden, here's this heavy subject.
Shore Leave has particularly been really generous. They are going to let us have Coalition resources at the table for free. We don't have to rent our own table. We are able to, we'll be selling our Be Kind t-shirts to support our programs. We will be talking about the Coalition on at least my panel and possibly another panel. So I really want to put out a shout out to Shore Leave and say thank you so much for your support of this work and of the Coalition.
How do you bring them in? How do you embrace them? How do you sell them on the idea that they want to be part of this topic?
Well, a lot of people really get it to begin with. And when we make the parallel of, you know, this is about IDIC, Star Trek's Infinite Diversity and Infinite Combinations, it's a pretty easy sell, really. We have Be Kind shirts that are for sale on our website that, you know, this is not a thing that we have to convince people is necessary in the world. It's not a partisan issue. None of these issues I'm talking about are partisan. These are human rights issues. And people generally do get it.
So you're working in schools. You're working in Comic-Cons. Are there any other environments where you are set up?
Yes. We have a children's hospital program, which has launched. It's called the Len Wein Children's Hospital Project, and it's in honor of Len Wein, who created the character Wolverine in X-Men and who was editor-in-chief at DC Comics and Marvel at different points in his career. He is really just a seminal person in this industry and was a contemporary of Stan Lee. Len was a dear friend of mine, and he passed away last year, and his wife named the Coalition as one of the charities of choice to honor him. So the backstory on Len is he grew up reading comics and started reading comics when he was 7 years old and when he was hospitalized. So we found out he lived in the Bronx, was hospitalized in the Bronx, and so we went to Montefiore Hospital in the Bronx to launch this program. We're working with the chief of child and adolescent psychology and have already donated quite a few copies of, actually 100 copies of Janina Scarlett's Superhero Therapy. That's by Dr. Janina Scarlett. And we are creating a comic book in honor of Len to help kids who are hospitalized with these same issues. They feel exclusion. They are often bullied. If they've lost their hair or they're in a wheelchair, there are emotional issues that they need to deal with besides their physical issues. So we are creating an original comic book, which is being written by Dr. Janina Scarlett and drawn by Laura Innes, who has created Winona Earp and The Dreamer for IDW. She's well-known and well-loved in the comics world. And they're doing this comic book, which will be given away for free to children in hospitals and available as a free download to help kids who are sick deal with emotional issues.
Oh, that's so cool. What are some of the signs that we should look for if we're concerned that someone we care about might be getting bullied? My understanding is that there are also certain physical things we can see. For example, sometimes there's a change in eating habits. Sometimes the kid makes excuses not to go to school. Sometimes, like you said, they talk about suicide or they try to commit suicide. You'll see changes in sleep patterns.
I've heard a statistic that on any day, 400,000 kids across the country are out of school because of a bullying issue. That's a lot. I know I skipped school when I was in sixth grade. I didn't skip, like, and go to the mall. I told my parents I wasn't feeling well because I was being bullied at school. And my symptoms were so strong, I had to go to the doctor. And, you know, if you look, you can see.
One thing that we probably didn't have to deal with when we were children that's gotten a fair amount of attention, though, is cyberbullying. Because we've been talking about, you know, a lot of bullying that happens in school happens in the workplace. But cyberbullying hits you anywhere. And worse than that, it's permanent. It never disappears. It stays on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or whatever means the bully uses. And so there is less ability to escape bullying than when we were children. So I guess that means we have even more need of superheroes in our lives.
Absolutely. Truly. And yes, I mean, we had it bad enough, but we didn't come home to, you know, have our phone with us as we're just going to sleep and seeing a horrible threatening text or a horrible bullying text. You know, the texts that some kids have sent each other that say, kill yourself. The horror is unimaginable to me, and yet it happens daily. And we have a specific lesson plan to cover it, but it's also covered in basically everything that we do. It's, you know, in teaching kids to see each other as beautiful and as worthy of being included. That, in and of itself, is a positive way to affect the issue of cyberbullying. It's not just don't, you know, stop cyberbullying. It's, what are you doing with your life? Who are the people you're doing it to? Look at them. If you look, you see.
I think that's really important, and I think that's really good that the Pop Culture Coalition addresses not only the victim of bullying, but also tries to remediate the bully themselves. For those who want to do something, help in the community, wants to help someone who may have been bullied, wants to find resources out there to help a child or someone they know who has been bullied, what can they do or where can they look?
First, I would absolutely recommend Carrie Goldman's book. It's called Bullied, What Every Parent, Teacher, and Kid Needs to Know About Ending the Cycle of Fear. And it was published by HarperCollins, and it's won awards, Gold Star Parenting Award and Gold Star Mom's Choice Award. And it really is an excellent resource for ending bullying for everyone involved. Second, I would say if you want to help, speak out when you see it happening. Don't become a bystander. Be an upstander. Use your voice and be brave enough to just make a stand and say, no, not on my watch. That's not going to happen here. There's a study that shows that bullying stops within 10 seconds. The statistics vary, but it will stop within 10 seconds when one or more people step in to say, uh-uh, stop that.
Mm.
And that's very key. If you'd like to support the coalition's work, I will take this opportunity to tell you that I am all volunteer since 2013. I've worked almost full-time for 5 years. My administrative team is also all volunteer. None of us have made a dime off of this work. If you'd like to support our programming, that's all the money that we bring in goes to create and support programs. So if you want to make a donation through the website, we are a 501c3, so it's tax deductible. And our website is popculturehero.org. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at SuperheroIRL. So that's at SuperheroIRL, like in real life. And we're actually on the verge of putting out another T-shirt that will help immigrant children. and that's going to be announced very soon if it hasn't already. So stay tuned and keep posted on our website.
Looking for a way for us all to take off our glasses and put on a cape. I'm Andrew Hiller for Existence, Moments in Time, speaking with Chase Masterson of the Pop Culture Hero Coalition. Thank you so much for your time and for your work.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Existence Podcast. If you want to hear more stories like this one, please go to existence.com. Also, feel free to send us your comments. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, for Existence, I'm Andrew Hiller.